One of my favorite one-liners is the definition of smart is learning from your mistakes. And the definition of wisdom is learning from others' mistakes. And I always thought, I kind of grabbed hold of that one. That's a good one to pull out of your pocket on teenagers. Even though I don't have any teenagers, I don't hesitate to give them that sound advice. in 1 Corinthians 10:11, Israel was actually our example. It talks about Israel being our example, and how many knows that they had a couple hiccups in their history early on, and they got into some complaining and different things and wilderness for 40 years and stuff. But they were our example, and if we just looked at that history in the Old Testament, just we can glean a lot of wisdom and learning maybe what not to do. And actually, everybody in the Bible, there's something in there that you can pick out of, like maybe a what not to do scenario. But that was just that's a free one-liner for you if you ever have to use that, especially on teenagers, it'd probably be good. But when I was speaking to teenagers, when I was one, I remember, I'm not going to go into the big story, but when I got out of high school, I went into community college, and mom was going to pay the bill for that one, and I just screwed up. I'm just going to be real. I chose hanging out with some girl at a mall versus going to class. So, but that didn't work out so well for me, and I dropped a few classes. Long story short, I never graduated. Here I am today. It's okay. I lived through it. But I look back, I told my mom, I was like, you know, that was a lack of wisdom on my part in an extreme way, a lack of wisdom on steroids, I think. But I had a free ride through my mom's extreme hard work going to send me through. And I said, Mom, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm going to learn the hard way. I know you're right. See, I was a real mouthy teenager, but I knew deep down inside my parents were right. And I said that. Maybe my behavior didn't reiterate that thought, but I knew that they were right. She was right. I was wrong, and I screwed up. And I did learn the hard way. But anyway, so that's my little lack of wisdom story. But there is a way to learn, and you have the hard school of hard knocks, sort of, as they say. And that was just one of the. The weird thing is, I chose to go through the school of hard knocks, which is kind of stupid. But anyway, we're going to talk about wisdom, and wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge is, there's nothing wrong with gaining knowledge. The Bible actually says knowledge, you know, puffs up. It can, you know, elevate you, your own self. You can elevate yourself just because you know a lot of stuff. And it's not saying knowledge is evil, because we need knowledge, especially when it comes to the Word of God and who we are in Christ and all the truths from the Word of God. But knowledge is not wisdom. Just because somebody has 5 degrees and their whole office is wallpapered with their certificates and degrees does not mean that they're wise. Does anybody know anybody that knows everything or wants you to make sure that they know everything? I work with a couple people like that, and it's you just know what's going to happen when they walk up. It's hilarious. And the other day, just actually yesterday, I wasn't privy to the conversation, but a friend of mine was working next to me, and he said, "Hey, so-and-so's over here telling his wife how to run this machine, and he doesn't even know." And I'm just like, that's funny, really? And they have a special relationship, and it's funny. It's one of those people that I don't care what subject that you bring up, they're going to know everything about it, and they're going to let you know what you don't know about this subject. And so I just usually, in situations like that, I usually choose to keep my mouth quiet and to not bring anything up that I might have a slightest clue about, and because I just don't feel like being told all about it and the history of it and how to do it right and all that. So, but we all know those people, right? We all know those people. But what we want to be is wise people. We want to grow in wisdom, and that's what we're going to get into here. Again, this is an introductory message, so we're going to start right off. This would be kind of like a key verse, if you will. Proverbs 4:7 in the New King James Version says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." Now, how many knows that if God is telling us in His Word to get something, He's not hiding it? It's actually something that's available. So that's good news. We know He's not, it's not a joke. This is real. But wisdom is the principal thing. And that word principal means first, in place, time, order, rank. It's the beginning. It's the chief thing. That's a pretty bold statement in Proverbs. Wisdom is the absolute most important thing. It's the chief thing, the principal thing. Proverbs 24:3 says, "Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, and a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation." Who does not want that? Who does not want wisdom to see that your life, your house, your family is built on this? And there's going to be an exclamation point at the end of this message. Because I always, when I go into a message, I think, you know, from this pulpit, we preach Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Everything must point to Jesus. And I prayed about it, you know, Lord, like, show me Jesus in this. How I want Jesus to be proclaimed in this message. And we'll see, there'll be an exclamation point at the end of this message today. Let's look in Psalm 136:5 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "To him who by wisdom and understanding made the heavens, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever." And in Proverbs 3:19 in the Amplified, "The Lord by skillful and godly wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding he has established the heavens." And in Jeremiah 10:12 in the Amplified, we see God made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom and by his understanding and skill stretched out the heavens. So upon creation, apparently it was important that wisdom was involved in this. Would you just glean that from the three verses here? By wisdom, God made the heavens, the earth, by his understanding. So wisdom seemed pretty important, I would say. I mean, at creation, at the forming of everything and the creation of everything. So it looks like it is pretty important based off that verse, that saying wisdom is the principal thing. And if the Lord created everything in wisdom, being his creation, his greatest creation, his children, should we go through our life without seeking out and making wisdom a pretty top priority? And of course, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is, no, we shouldn't. We should get wisdom because it's being offered, and we see that God used wisdom. So we're going to see more of that here. Wisdom, and I'm not going to add anything or take anything away from this. And the Strong's Concordance, in its simplicity, wisdom means skillful. And the word wisdom and understanding go hand in hand, and we see understanding as skillfulness and discretion. And an adjective of the Hebrew word in these verses, wisdom, is to be wise. This is from the Vines Expository Dictionary. I got this. It means to be wise was viewed as a mastery of the art of living in accordance with God's expectations. Wisdom is viewed as a process of attainment and not an accomplishment. So wisdom is something we grow in. It's not something we achieve. Okay, I have wisdom and I'm good to go. I mean, as disciples of Christ, you know, we're always students. We're always, you know, if you ever think that you've arrived in an area, let me just burst your bubble, you're wrong. I don't care how much you know. I don't care if you've been doing the same thing for 60 years. You don't know everything about it. And I mean, it's funny that, You know, you don't start out that way, especially through the teenage years and stuff. I don't know why I'm going that, saying teenage stuff. But, you know, you think you've arrived sometimes, and you really haven't. And it's interesting. The more you learn about something, we all know this, especially the older we are probably, the more you know and learn about something, the more you realize, I don't know anything about this. And that's really what it is. So it's good to always approach something in life and just keep that teachable spirit about you and that humility about you instead of that prideful attitude going into it. And again, you know, we know those people that, again, know everything, and you can't tell them anything that they don't know. And if you try to, you're going to be probably wrong, and they're going to correct you and things of that nature. But the noun of the Hebrew word, wisdom, it's the knowledge and ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. Would that be super awesome if you always made the right choice every single time? Because life is a series of choices, and we are where we are because of the choices we've made and so on and so forth, right? I mean, that's not anything anybody doesn't know, but that is awesome. I wonder if that's a huge reason that God said wisdom is principal thing. It's key. It's huge. And how many knows that he doesn't want us to choose wrong, right? He's for us, and if he is for us, who can be against us? But wisdom and understanding, like I said, go hand in hand all the time. I know this isn't, oh, here we go. This, hold on tight. There's a lot of reading. I'm not going to ask you to read along. But we're going to look in Job, and we're going to learn, again, this is an intro. So I apologize if this is too much for you. But it's not. So, all right, let's go. Ready, set, go. All right. So Job 28, 1 through 11, in the Message. You're welcome for the Message. We all know how silver seems the rocks. We've seen the stuff from which gold is refined. We're aware of how iron is dug out of the ground and copper is smelted from rock. Miners penetrate the earth's darkness, searching the roots of the mountains for ore, digging away in the suffocating darkness. Far from civilization, far from the traffic, they cut a shaft or a mine shaft. Some talked about a mine shaft, like mining for stuff. And are lowered into it by ropes. Earth's surface is a field for grain, but its depths are a forge firing sapphires from stones and chiseling gold from rocks. Vultures are blind to its riches. Hawks never lay eyes on it. Wild animals are oblivious to it. Lions don't know it's there. Miners hammer away at the rock. They uproot the mountains. They tunnel through the rock, find all kinds of beautiful gems. They discover the origins of rivers and bring Earth's secrets to light. But where, oh where, will they find wisdom? So we do a first part of those verses, there's a lot. People do a lot of stuff, a lot of cool stuff, find a lot of cool stuff, make a lot of cool stuff. But where, oh where, will they find wisdom? Where does insight hide? Mortals don't have a clue, haven't the slightest idea where to look. Earth's depths say, not there, or not here. Ocean deeps echo, never heard of it. It can't be bought with the finest gold. No amount of silver can get it. Even famous Ophir gold can't buy it. Not even diamonds and sapphires. Neither gold nor emeralds are comparable. Extravagant jewelry can't touch it. Pearl necklaces and ruby bracelets, why bother? None of this is even a down payment on wisdom. Pile gold and African diamonds as high as you will. They can't hold a candle to wisdom. Now, man, be careful. I just read about a bunch of jewelry. Just make sure you're not going anywhere around jewelry stores today. And they're subconscious now. They're thinking. No. Okay, Job 28, 20 through 22. So where does wisdom come from? And where does insight live? It can't be found by looking, no matter how deep you dig, no matter how high you fly. If you search through the graveyard and question the dead, they say, we've only heard rumors of it. And here we come in for the landing. God alone knows the way to wisdom. All right. Now we're getting somewhere. He knows the exact place to find it. He knows where everything is on earth. He sees everything under heaven. After he commanded the winds to blow and measured out the waters, arranged for the rain and set off explosions of thunder and lightning, he focused on wisdom. He made sure it was all set and tested and ready. Then he addressed the human race. Here it is. Fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. And insight, or understanding, some translations read, means shunning evil. So that's good. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Job 32, there's a guy named Elihu. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He realized after Job's buddies, he was getting pretty upset. He listened to all their rants and going off and stuff. And he kept his mouth quiet because he was younger than them. And they were old and wise. He knew this. So, but he was boiling. His blood was boiling. And finally he erupted and let it go for a chapter or two. And he learned that he realized just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise. That'd be awesome if it did, in a way. All right? You can just sit there and just become wise as you grow old. But it doesn't work that way. Wisdom, he learned that wisdom comes from the Spirit of God in man. So it comes from God. That is the source of wisdom. And it said a whole lot to basically say, you're not going to find wisdom here on earth. Wherever you look, I don't care how smart people look and how awesome the human race is finding precious gems and mining and all that stuff, you're never going to buy it. You're never going to find it here. It comes from one source, and that is God himself. And we are going to continue on and find out who wisdom is. And it's in Proverbs. When you hear wisdom in the Bible, you automatically think Proverbs. But actually, Job and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are thought of as their books of wisdom. So let's get into this. Oh, here's another long verse. Sorry. Proverbs 8:22 through 31 in the New Living Translation. Let's read that. The Lord formed me from the beginning, before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters. Before the mountains were formed, and before the hills, I was born. Before he had made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there. When he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans, I was there. When he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth, I was there. When he set the limits of the seas, so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. And this is wisdom speaking. Before anything was laid, before the foundations was laid, wisdom was there. And how important, again, just to reiterate that our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father, tells us, that first verse, to get wisdom. And we see wisdom was the architect for creation. And again, this is reiterating how important it is to seek and to get wisdom. Let's read Proverbs 8:32 through 36. Continuing here, New Living Translation. And so, my children, listen to me. For all who follow my ways are joyful. Well, that's good news. Wisdom is not somebody that brings you down. All my ways are joyful. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me. Everybody wants to be joyful, right? Watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Well, that's good too. But those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death. Well, that's pretty bold. All who hate wisdom, all who think they know everything, all who can't be taught anything must love death. Kind of that's where it's getting. The last, second to the last sentence there, but those who miss me injure themselves. The other translations say lose their souls. And but it looks like wisdom is really good to get because wisdom's ways are joyful. And whoever finds wisdom finds life and receives favor from the Lord. That's good news, right? God, favor, yeah? Grace, unmerited favor. It's all good. We're going to tie this all in together in a little bit. You know what? I might be done before I thought I was going to be done. I hope the roast is done when you get home or whatever. So, hors d'oeuvres, that's why God made hors d'oeuvres. All right, so where do we start in this getting wisdom thing? Where's the starting point? And we need, you know, does everybody agree that we need God's wisdom in every area of our life? Not just here at church or not just talking to people about God or whatever. We need wisdom on our job. We need wisdom to run our businesses. We need wisdom, huge, raising our children. Amen. We need wisdom in our marriage, when to keep our mouth shut, when to just listen. Amen. I knew I'd get an amen. We need, you know. Anyways, I was going to keep there. But we need wisdom in every area of our life. Not just the stuff that pays us money. We need wisdom in just the everyday, you know, just that word understanding. Always the ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. If I could have just hit that 50-50, that would have been awesome, you know? But I'm probably somewhere on the other side of that overall life. But as we grow in the Lord, as we seek wisdom and seek his counsel, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. How many knows he counsels us in the wisdom of God? How many knows that the wisdom of God actually is for our good in our life? You know, we all have plans and purposes that God has for us. And it's his wisdom when we walk out those plans, when we follow the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. That is the wisdom of God. Even if it's just, you know, I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice from God, but just that little, that prompting, that still small voice, that nudge. So I just heard somebody say before service, they were talking to an individual, and I didn't even say anything about what the subject was going to be today, but it was interesting that it was actually kind of an expression of the wisdom of the Lord. This person said when they go to do something wrong, or and I don't know what the context of the conversation was, it was involving a possible like job or what they do for work. But when they do something and it's going to be like an incorrect thing or something, they literally feel like a nudge. Like, and he knew that was the Holy Spirit nudging him and prompting him. Like this isn't the right decision or whatever the case. But you get the gist of that. That's I thought that was very interesting because that is the wisdom of God. And he is alert to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit and whatever he's doing. And I thought that's so interesting. And you know, in just our day-to-day life, maybe we're driving down, we have the same exact, you know, roads we drive down every day or whatever for work or whatever you do on a regular basis. You know, I've had those nudges where it's like out of the blue. I mean, I pretty much take one road 12 miles, you know, to work every day. And I could do it blindfolded half the time. I don't even remember driving that road. I am awake, I'm pretty sure, but you know, everything becomes automatic, you know. But there are those moments where I've felt, and I don't know if you know, it's just a kind of a, yeah, I should take this road today. So, I mean, totally not on the way home. I mean, it's kind of on the way home, but it's roundaboutly. But I've learned to follow those kind of, we'll just use the word nudge, those nudges. Like, okay, if this is you, Holy Spirit. I'm not going to not listen. So, okay. It's different scenery. It kind of mixes things up a little bit. I can actually pay attention to what I'm doing than be on mental cruise control. But I would advise you, because, you know, he's given to us the Holy Spirit as our teacher and our counselor to give us counsel, to give us direction, to lead us, to guide us. And, you know, maybe something seems so crazy. I'm going to share something I had never entered my mind until just now to share this, but I've already shared it once before. I'm going to give you an extreme crazy story. An extreme crazy story. You ready for it? This is the nuttiest thing I've ever heard, but it was the coolest after I heard it. This person had just come, I think they had just come out of, I don't know what, maybe a service or something. They were driving home. It was late at night, about 10 o'clock at night or so. And they had this, this sounds crazy to say it out loud. They had this prompting to go into a, it was one of the big name pharmacies like Walgreens or CVS or something, and to go stand on their head in the store. And how many knows if that thought ever crossed your mind, you'd think, I need to go to sleep or something. Well, anyways, as this individual was driving, it seemed to get stronger. I'd really think, I might just pull over here and go take a little nappy poo right now. So anyway, finally this individual, and I don't know if it was male or female, but that's irrelevant, but this individual stopped, went into this pharmacy, and okay, there's obviously 10 o'clock at night. I don't know if that's a very populated place typically. I don't think it is. But all right, what I'm going to do, the person said, I'm going to go right to the back of the store and do it real quick, and then nobody's watching, nobody's here. Who knows where the cameras were? I don't know if there were any. Anyways, person goes back there, of course, probably heart's beating, feeling really, really, I'm so stupid right now, but realizing, okay, there's a reason that this is in me to do. Goes over there beside the bathroom, does a headstand or something. Out comes a worker, a clerk, and sees this and immediately breaks down and starts weeping and just falls apart. Well, that person, when they were in the bathroom, said, God, if you're real, when I get out of this, I want to see somebody standing on their head. Now, how many knows, to natural man, that was complete and utter foolishness to even have that thought. But the wisdom of God is wiser than man's wisdom. It's compared in Scripture. The wisest of man's wisdom is worse than foolishness, God's foolishness. How many knows that that was God's wisdom at work? Because he loves people. He gave Jesus for us. And for that person to stop and listen, knowing the Holy Spirit, who knows everything about everything, is in me. And probably had this moment of analyzation afterwards, like, okay, I would never think something like this on my own. And there's not really any reason that the devil would fill my mind with this thought, unless it was like on a busy highway or something like that, but that would be kind of obvious. But how many knows that that person tapped into the wisdom of God, not ever realizing the outcome? And that was just the most amazing story. But that's who I want to be. I want to be that sensitive to where, and I've heard other crazy stories like that. Those moments that people have no idea why they're doing this or whatever, but real, like thinking that this is how I feel I'm supposed to do this. You know, I don't want to use the word feel, but a prompting in their inner man and their spirit, because the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, okay? So, anyway, that was free. So, share that. Here we go. Psalm 111, verse 10, in Amplified, the reverent fear, and this is where we start. This is where wisdom starts. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and skill, the preceding and the first essential, the prerequisite and the alphabet. A good understanding, wisdom, and meaning have all those who do the will of the Lord. Their praise of Him endures forever. And in Proverbs 9:10 in the Amplified, we see the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief, and the choice part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. And it starts, wisdom starts, with the fear of the Lord. And, you know, people think fear of the Lord, it breaks it down in the Amplified. It's the reverent, it's reverence. And it's from a worshipful heart, realizing that He is supreme, He is sovereign, He is God. He is where I came from. And realizing that and reverencing Him as your Heavenly Father. And I heard a minister say one time that kind of put it in simple terms. So the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God, it's being afraid to be away from Him, afraid to not be near Him, knowing that He is the source of life. He is the source of peace. He is the source of joy. He is my source for everything. And I, you know, it kind of goes back to leaning on your own understanding. You know, the word tells us to not lean on our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. And that would be a picture, I believe, of the fear of the Lord is acknowledging God in every way in your life, and not being a. I thought that was good to have a fear of going off and being your own wisdom, and but does that make sense? The fear of the Lord in simplicity, it's not to be afraid of God. It's to be afraid to be away from Him in our hearts, in our minds, but to always be aware of His presence, always be aware of His love and His care and His concern for us. That's walking in the fear of the Lord, realizing who He is and being so overjoyed that He has chosen us to be in Him in Christ. And that's just beautiful. So that's where wisdom starts. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7 in the Amplified says, this is, we read this in the beginning, I know, but I thought that wasn't long enough. I want a longer version. So, get skillful and godly wisdom. Get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. Do not forget and do not turn back from the words of my mouth. Forsake not wisdom, and she will keep, defend, and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. We know that means the most important thing. And with all you have gotten, get understanding, which is discernment and comprehension and interpretation. I mean, you can, in the natural, you can discern something. That's what we want. Again, like I said, wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. And we want that ability, and we can have that ability, seeking the wisdom of God and getting the wisdom of God coupled with understanding. We can have those moments of discernment. And as a parent, that's so critical, I know. I mean, to discern, I think of another account of a friend of mine who had, you know, their kids were going through their teenage years, and this, the oldest daughter wanted to go somewhere, and there was just, you know, it was the friends they hung out with or whatever, and they were going who knows where, but there was just this check in her spirit, for lack of a better way to say that, an interruption in her heart, and it was a discerning of of that situation, and she chose, the mother did, chose not to allow her child to go that night with those friends wherever they were going. And, you know, of course, that, you know, that daughter didn't break down and thank her mom for that awesome decision. There was a little bit of butting of heads, but there was wisdom in that situation. The mother, I mean, God is going to give us, God has given us as parents, that grace, that inner ability to parent our children and to give us wisdom to raise them in Him. And so she was acting on that. There was just something not right there, and she didn't discern whatever. So I think I've already made a long story longer. Short story long. Anyways, what I'm getting at is the end result here was there was an accident, and based on the nature of the accident and what had happened, very likely that her child would have died in that accident. Now, I don't believe anybody died. There was a lot of very, I think, serious injury, but I think of the nature where she would have most likely been sitting or whatever. I don't know if those friends had assigned seating in that vehicle or whatever it was, but all in all, she heard from God. She discerned. She walked in the wisdom that she was given by the Holy Spirit, and her daughter was spared of whatever. Okay? So, again, let's not, through our life, I mean, we can get so hustle, bustle, busy kind of thing, and the devil likes to give us two choices, usually, I think. Like, and there are two wrong choices most of the time. But the wisdom of God, he can have choice C, D, E, F, G. He can have all the letters in the alphabet choices. But the devil likes to pressure you, and I actually just found myself, okay, whether this is bad to say about myself or not, whatever. I'm quick to kind of say, I'm not a good kind of off-the-cuff thinker. I'm more of a crockpot type of thinker. Like, I need to sit, have the information, let it stew a little bit, and then I'll get back with you. I don't like making snap decisions, especially under pressure. I usually just won't make them. And That's how I'm wired. But I found myself, like, when I'm talking to people, I've been in conversations recently, as a man, I think generally as a man, men like to solve problems, generally. Like, we need to, okay, you know, if wife comes to husband and says whatever, like, they want to, maybe wife just wants to talk. No, man wants to solve this issue. Man wants to take care of it. We want to fix this. I'm trying to fix this in my mind. And so in my conversations recently, I've caught myself doing that and actually saying, well, you only have two choices here. And the reality of it is, it's, you don't have just two choices. But I'm so wanting to solve this problem and to save this person from agony or whatever. And, you know, you get to that point where it's just like, okay, I've been in this conversation with you before. I feel for you type thing. Like, I have pity on you. There's a merciful thing going on there. And I want to solve this. Here's your two choices. Well, how about just, hey, you know what? Let's seek God's wisdom on this. There is godly wisdom for this situation that blows anything I'm about to say out of the water if I'm not stopping and listening to this. And again, I've caught myself in a couple conversations in the last few weeks doing that, and then afterwards realizing, that's so stupid. Why would I say you only have two choices? Because that's not wisdom. That's pressure. That's me trying to fix something that I have no idea how to fix. But I do know the source of wisdom. And we're going to get into to that a little more. Again, like I said, some application next week. But if wisdom is the principal thing, when we come into a situation or whatever, should we first seek wisdom? I think that's a good idea. Even if you have a physical something going on, like, illness, whatever, something like that. I mean, what's wrong with going before the Lord, inquiring the Lord, say, Lord, what is your wisdom for this situation right now? I know what I feel like I have to do, but what is your wisdom in this situation? I remember, we all remember this who was here, but I always thought that was the coolest thing, because it's kind of like you could easily be pressured in this situation. Pastor Chad received, I'll probably have a story a little bit goofed up, but you'll get it. Got a call from, I think it was his wife, and his oldest daughter had blue hands, and it was kind of crazy looking, whatever. Anyways, I'm going to make this longer story short. You know, there were calls to doctors, all this stuff. I think somewhere in there, they wanted to, like, stick a bunch of needles in her and figure this out. I mean, it escalated, like, quick. And when you know, your natural mind, you're thinking, okay, doctors are saying this. They're smart. They went to school for 8 years or whatever. I mean, I got to listen to these people. And you start, all of a sudden, fear can take over. And, you know, you start feeling pressure, and you start feeling like, what should I do? What should I do? And I believe Pastor Chad had them come. He was here at the church, and he had them come here, and he had his daughter hold out her hands. Let me look at these. And then I don't know if he just licked his finger and wiped it off, but it happened, ended up being the blue dye from her new jeans or something. And they were ready to stick her with all kinds of needles and do all kinds of tests and craziness. How many knows that wouldn't have been fun? But in that simple little moment, the wisdom of God, and I know Pastor Chad, I'm sure he was praying in the Spirit and believing God for his mind, his natural mind, to be fruitful, and just for direction, because he knows the Holy Spirit is the teacher, he's the counselor. And that was it might seem insignificant, but I guarantee you, Chloe found it very significant that she didn't have to go and be assessed or whatever, stuck with needles. But that was the wisdom of God in that situation. And, you know, I thought that was so cool. And praise God that he was not allowing himself, again, to be pushed. Because the enemy, a lot of times, will, you know, try to feed us this lie that we only have this choice. We only have these two choices. Well, no, there's the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 24 through 31 in the New Living Translation. This is where Jesus is enters in here. I mean, he's always, you know what I mean? I was looking for, Lord, show me Jesus in this. But to those called by God to salvation, that's all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you, with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Christ has been made unto us, another scripture says, wisdom. This is the ultimate wisdom of God, is to embrace Jesus. And that's what we say here at Charis New Testament Church. That's what we proclaim and we preach every time. Embrace Jesus. He is the expression of God's wisdom. Christ has been made unto us wisdom, and that is where it starts. Jesus is where it starts and ends. It's all about Jesus. And if wisdom is the principal thing, embracing Jesus is the principal thing. That's where It starts. Luke 11:31 is an account where the Queen of Sheba was going to see Solomon. And it says, the Queen of Sheba will stand up against this generation on judgment. This is Jesus talking to various people, religious leaders and his disciples and things. In this account, it's going to come up against this generation on judgment day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. And again, of all the people that should have known what was going on, it was the religious people of that day, the highest of high of the Hebrews, the Jews. They should have, when Jesus arrived on the scene, they should have realized it. But no, one wiser, this is his own words regarding himself, more wisdom than Solomon is right here in front of you, and you refuse to hear it. That was the wisdom, and again, that kind of just reaffirms this. Christ is the wisdom of God. And he is preeminent in this whole story, Jesus is. And these people that all they wanted to do was get him in trouble and get rid of him. He was ruining everything. He was ruining their big show, you know. But it was God in the flesh trying to reveal the goodness of God, and these people were just kicking against it. And finally, in James 3:17, we'll end here, a New Living Translation. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Wisdom, that's a whole lot like the way the fruit of the Spirit sounds right there. But godly wisdom is good. And as we have seen, godly wisdom is first, it begins with the fear of the Lord, the reverential fear of the Lord, the worshipful fear of the Lord. It begins with Him. And we see that Jesus Christ has been made unto us God's wisdom. And as New Testament believers, I would say that He is where God's wisdom begins.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.